Your question regarding C. The industrial zone is not confined to the industrial park. There are parcels of land that are zoned industrial that are outside the industrial park. That's why we provide for that. But there is current concern about adequate flows for water usage, for fire suppression, other uses in the industrial zone. That's a concern of longstanding. So the group wanted to make sure that sufficient water storage capacity was provided so that other water uses, existing uses, and fire suppression would not be endangered, whether the development is in or near the industrial park.
And the standard is not just for power generation. I mean, it's new power generation and other industrial land uses and new processes serving existing industrial land uses shall comply with the following standards.
Yeah, I think certainly part of these standards here, because remember, some of these will apply to any industrial process. They're not limited to just power generation facilities. And part of the provisions you refer to, Eileen, are attempted to address long-standing shortcomings that may even be identified in the comprehensive plan in the past, in terms of water availability at peak demand times. And so, again, for some of the water pieces, some of the noise pieces, they would apply to an industrial process regardless of what it is.
I think a good example is that Fisher Engineering is not in the industrial park. Mm-hmm. It's adjacent to...
Dan, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things we looked at when we were crafting this and some of the protection, again, the goal is whatever, however that the hot water, the steam, however that's being used, applied, district heating system, whatever it is, they need to capture it and collect as much of that back as possible. And then as the larger the facility gets, by putting some of the limits in here, it's going to force them to put some water reuse and processing in their own facility. They can certainly process and clean up their cooling tower blowdown, reintroduce that back into the system, their boiler blowdown. It's going to force them to do some of those conservation-type measures. As far as the 2.3 million gallons, that's about a 10-megawatt biomass plant with direct contact cooling tower. So, again, a lot of water consumption. It seems prescriptive enough, but not too restricting for other technologies. Again, if it doesn't need a direct contact cooling tower, the 2.3 million, that makes it, a combined cycle plant where it's a district heating system, they're getting that cool water back, they don't need to reject a lot of heat, that could be a 20 megawatt facility. So it provides a little bit of flexibility, but it does put limits and protection in there.
One of the questions that she asked was how this 2.3 million compares to the total consumption from residential.
Yeah, I don't think we looked at it in that perspective. That would be a good comparison, though.
What about FMC, which is a very large user of unprocessed water? Does anyone remember exactly how much they...
I think it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, it seems to me that they consume about 80% of the water that comes to Rockland. Isn't that right? Somewhere in there?
Kevin, it was a number that we were working with.
Yeah, I think it's around 50%.
50?
I know that they're about 50% of the bill for water treatment, wastewater treatment, and the billing is determined by water consumption.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put that $2.3 million for a power generation facility as a small industrial and manufacturing plant as well.
And with respect to the fire suppression thing in the industrial park and industrial areas and everything, it's just because it's where it is in town
that
the pressure is a problem because of probably the gradient and so on of that. If the industrial park were somewhere else, that this all wouldn't be necessary. It's always been a drawback of where our industrial park is. The pressure is low there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the size of the line is being... Dean, are you... Okay. Go ahead.
Hello, Dean Heavy. I'm wondering if you guys had considered an alternative of a desalinization system, reclaiming seawater. Not reclaiming, but claiming seawater.
We did talk about it briefly. That's a pretty costly facility, and again, depends on the type of power generation system that or technology that's going in. If it's a combustion turbine with a heat recovery boiler, high pressure steam, typically not used in those type applications. If it's reciprocating engine, just a hot water system, you could probably desalinate that water enough. But again, it's probably going to be cost prohibitive to do that.
Is it that much more expensive than reclaiming the sewer treatment water that's coming out of there? That was one of the possibilities.
Well, you have to put some type of reverse osmosis or some type of filtering system in. But those are typically packaged systems, and you just put them in series, and it's typically at a lower cost than desalinization.
And maybe we should just, I think people have highlighted here, but the three key points are to put an overall cap on the amount of water any facility could use, to really require reutilization of the water, and in a combined heat and power scenario, particularly, the amount of new water use would be quite low. New water use per day, and so the point was to really have an ordinance to push its reutilization, set an absolute cap, and be sure that if it's in a place that would potentially create other scenarios, primarily because of the lack of the size of the mains going to the industrial park, that there wouldn't be a scenario where a fire breaks out and there wouldn't be adequate fire pressure to deal with it in the commercial areas. Any other questions on water utilization? Because we'll move on to cooling towers.
Could you cover the use of sewage treatment plant effluent question? Mm-hmm. I thought that was up for a while.
It's certainly addressed in I think it's paragraph A.
It is a possible option.
Oh, did we skip over that?
That's what we mean by processed water.
Yes.
Is that sometimes gray water? Is that what you mean when you say gray water?
No. Gray water is. Untreated wastewater that doesn't include human waste. So it's things like sinks, dishwashers, showers, etc., excluding human waste. What this is simply saying is if you're using water from, essentially Mirror Lake, Grassy Pond, you have to recycle a high percentage of it. If you can utilize processed wastewater, you don't have to meet that recycling percentage. Because that's using water that's just discharged to the harbor otherwise. So it's reusing 100% at that point. So it's not any additional load to the freshwater supply.
Important to point out, it's not the wastewater that's entering the treatment plant. It's the
Right.
Not sure if I understood, but if it's recycled, they have to reuse it, right? And then you mentioned it going out into the harbor, but if it's to be recycled, doesn't there have to be a storage place on site for them to draw that water out to reuse it? And how big is that?
Yeah, it would depend on the size of the system and the flows, but that's not uncommon. It could be a 5,000-gallon tank. It could be a 20,000-gallon tank, depending on the size of the facility.
Anything else on water at the moment?
I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sandy. Sandra Schramm.
Sandra Schramm. Out of curiosity, we're talking about a lack of water to the industrial park if there's a fire and the lack of ability to pump it there. But then we're talking about the possibility that we would be using water that has come through the wastewater treatment plant. Now, that was explained to me that there would have to be pumps put installed to pump that here. So why can't Maine Water come along and put pumps in to pump an increase of water to the industrial park for fire situations? Because, that's how water is moved, is by pumps, you just add more pumps.
Wouldn't a water tower
tower could do that, booster, jockey pumps, absolutely. And you could, if somebody was proposing a system in that industrial park, rather than have them put on-site storage so they're not drawing on the system heavily, you could ask them to put in, you know, a pumping system.
And the reason why we propose having a developer take on that expense is because if Maine Water does it, all the other users get to pay for that.
I'm sorry to make that mistake.
So,
I'm very sorry. I just wondered, you know, if you're going to get one water source here, then certainly the other source could be increased. I'm not advocating that anybody in Rockland bear that cost.
But
this is exactly
what we were trying to encourage,
right,
is that developers then look at, if you're telling them you need to do something,
it would be a project cost.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So then maybe there's some other things that could happen that could help benefit other issues that we need to address. So.
Right.
And keep in mind that part of what, I mean, I don't necessarily consider the water rates here low, but they're low to other places, is that the water here is only pumped at the filtration plant in West Rockport. The city is served by a gravity system. Cameron Rock and Water, Aquamaine, or Maine Water, doesn't maintain any drinking water pumps in the city. It's all gravity from the reservoir up at the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's the constraint. The other constraint is just purely pipe size.
Also on the wastewater reuse or using the effluent, I don't know what the size of the treatment plant is here, but any of these facilities we're talking about wouldn't take that entire amount, so it would probably be trucked up there rather than pumped.
Okay, so that was what I had to ask, was how much a day does the wastewater treatment plant, would they be able to provide?
Guessing at the flows here, I mean, you'd be able to provide a large amount of the makeup water facility, absolutely.
And when it goes back to the harbor, it goes back at what temperature?
That would be part of the water discharge permit that's monitored anyway, and there would be rules around what temperature they could discharge. Most of the time it's, I think, in the 85-degree range.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much.
Kevin, did you want to say something?
Well, just while we're on that point, if you look at page 14, number 3, water discharge, we wanted to specifically incorporate the pretreatment standards and other limitations on wastewater discharge that already apply, but we thought we'd restate them here just for clarity purposes. So in that section, it mandates compliance with the city's existing requirements for wastewater discharge as well as state and local pretreatment requirements.
And there are, obviously the harbor, the industrial parks, industrial zones don't abut the harbor. And so the assumption in the conversation was this would be a discharge back to the treatment plant. And the federal pretreatment standards have a lot of requirements in terms of thermal discharges, which they have to comply with.
Do we have something in here where applicants will have to check with the water company to see if the the total thing is going to be too much of a load?
Okay.
After all, we're talking about a limit for no single facility, but there is no limit in here of how many separate facilities of 2.3 million gallons there could be in town.
Yeah, I don't think we've stated that specifically here. It's my understanding the planning board ordinarily requires capacity letters from utilities when they receive the site plan application. Is that the case, Peter?
It depends on the size.
That's something we need to make clear when we rewrite site plan standards, is that it's probably required in every instance.
Yeah, we talked about it, but I don't remember it ever making it into this document. So
sort of a broad-term burden on public facilities.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the current site plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any of these type of facilities, water use, if they're applying for, you know, city water, I would think it would trigger some type of study or analysis.
Okay. Sorry. Moving on to cooling towers and.